everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, so now it begins. We go over 100 degrees for maybe a week or so, and then hopefully that will be it.
Yeah, but, we'll be in the neighborhood of 105, it looks like.
Oh, boy.
But you know what else?
What?
I think we could say bye-bye to the monsoon.
Oh, definitely.
The official end will be, what, Saturday?
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to get any more rain between now and then.
No, I think that pretty much is in the rearview mirror. It's Buckmaster on Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2022. We'll begin our 15th year with our radio show in January, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're part of the Bustos Media growing presence, let's put it that way, in Tucson. We have 5 radio stations now under one roof. You can listen to our program live at buckmastershow.com. And when we do our telephone interviews, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management is our sponsor. We begin with Chris Ackerley. Chris serves as the Pima County Treasurer, appointed to the office by the Pima County Board of Supervisors back in April of this year. Before being named Pima County Treasurer, Chris served as Chief Deputy Treasurer for Pima County, having been recruited to join the office by his predecessor, Beth Ford. Chris had a 22-year career as a high school physics and math teacher, and he is a longtime advocate for public policy in Southern Arizona. He was elected to the Arizona House of Representatives, served in the 52nd legislature, representing parts of Pima and Santa Cruz County. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
You say Pima County Treasurer to most people, and they say, well, I think they deal with money, but you deal with a lot of money, don't you?
We do. We do deal with a lot of money. So I sent everybody a note in the past couple of weeks. Hope you got it.
Oh, yeah. I've got it. Let's see. The first point payment's due in December, is it?
Next month, November 1st. Please get that first payment in by November.
Pull that folder out of my stack of stuff at home. Okay.
But depending upon where we are in the tax collection cycle, the Pima County Treasurer's Office is obviously responsible for collecting the property taxes, but then we also take all of that money from all 77 jurisdictions that we serve, and we essentially act as the bank for those jurisdictions. So we have on deposit, depending upon where we are in the tax cycle, anywhere between $1.5 billion and $2 billion.
Wow.
And to put that in perspective, that's actually like bigger than Tucson Federal Credit Union.
Mm.
About twice the size of the amount of assets and deposits. And then we invest that money for all of those jurisdictions. And again, act as their bank. So they essentially all have checking accounts with us. Mm-hmm. And we process anywhere from $100 million to $300 million a week in transactions.
With very few people.
So our entire staff is, depending upon the cycle, anywhere between 25 and 30 people. We actually have 7 that work in our accounting department. We handle a lot of money with a relatively lean staff.
How do you get some of that money to work for the taxpayers? You say that, you know, the interest on that would be
So we take all of the taxes that get collected for each of the jurisdictions, and until they draw those down, we put those into a pooled investment. Mm-hmm. And we invest those monies. A good chunk of the money that we have is on deposit with actually the state treasurer's office in their local investment pools. But about half of that money we invest to diversify. We invest through our office. So about a third of it is in large securities, U.S. treasuries, agencies, federal home loan, federal farm bureau, stuff like that. And then a good chunk of it is in money markets. And then we also diversify into certificates of deposits. But because much of the money demands, the investment of the money demands that we have full faith and credit by statute. I don't know that term really means anything, but mm-hmm. but you know, it says that we've got the full faith and credit of the government. We have to be under FDIC insurances. So we have, you know, anywhere between 400 and 600 CDs, certificates of deposits with various banks around the country that we have to manage.
And you have to be very careful on what you invest in, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So what
you have a responsibility.
So my responsibility is to, number one, keep the money safe. Number two is to manage that cash flow. Make sure that, you know, every other week when school payrolls comes in and it's $35 million for all of the different school districts across the county, that we got the money in the checking account to cover it, right? And then get the best return on it that we can, given the parameters under statute.
Most people pay in a timely fashion. I'm talking about property taxes.
The reality is the vast majority of people do, right? And we have a system in Arizona where if you don't pay your taxes, we'll auction off that tax lien the next year. So as far as the jurisdictions are concerned, about 98% of their taxes are collected within 18 months of the tax bills going out. So the vast majority of people actually do.
Why are there over 70 different jurisdictions?
Well, you got the county,
you
got the community college, you got the 17 school districts, all of the fire departments, and all of the special taxing districts, right? If you have a community facilities development district in your, connected to your master plan community, or a special lighting district, or a water district.
RTA, would that?
RTA does sales tax. They don't do property taxes.
Okay.
But associated with that is there's a business incentive district right in the downtown area that does collect property taxes. And so you're connected to that, it gets complicated in a hurry.
Yeah. So the math part of your career has helped you a lot.
Yes. Yes. So Beth, like I said, Beth approached me about 3 years ago because nobody in her office wanted to run for the position.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of those positions where I don't do public policy, right? I'm an administrator. I effectively work as the CFO of a small, well,
in many ways, it almost should be a nonpartisan office.
There's an argument to be made that it should be a nonpartisan position.
Yeah.
Because I don't do public policy. My views on national and state politics don't have any interaction with my actual job. So no one in her office wanted to actually run for the position. So she approached me, said, "You can do the math. You know the politics, right? I'll teach you how the office works." And the reality is the office is basically problem solving for all of those things. And knowing how all 77 of those jurisdictions interact and all of their different peculiarities and idiosyncrasies is a key part of the job.
Before we let you go, Chris Ackerley, what advice do you have for the property homeowner getting those bills? What would you suggest?
If it's not paid through your mortgage company, right?
Yes.
I would obviously suggest that you pay online using an e-check. It's the most cost-effective way to do it for the taxpayer and the county, right? And sometimes people miss it because if you go to pay online, you might get scared off by the fact that it says there's going to be transaction fees there. And if you use a credit card, the credit card companies are going to charge a pretty hefty transaction fee. But if you use that e-check option, it's only 50 cents. It's less than the cost of the stamp.
Mm.
And the other thing to note, too, is we send out tax statements once a year.
Okay.
Right? And so if you've bought your home somewhere between July and the next statement cycle, very good likelihood is that statement got sent to the previous owner.
Ooh.
But there's no provision in statute to say, well, we sent the bill to the previous owner, you're not responsible for it.
Mm.
So if you bought your home and you did, but from July on, well, basically if you own a home that's not covered by a mortgage company and you haven't gotten a tax statement, contact our office. And let's make sure that we can send you an additional copy.
Boy,
of that.
You don't want that to get all, and late fees and everything else.
What
is the late fee percentage?
Well, it's steep.
It is?
It's steep. It's 16%.
Wow.
So 16% a year on the delinquent balance.
All right. Chris Ackerley for Pima County Treasurer. That's what he is running for. And that's going to be a long ballot, isn't it?
It is going to be a long pages. It's probably going to be 4 pages on two different sheets.
Hopefully you'll come up before the judges. Because people look at the judges and go, I don't have any idea about that.
Yeah.
All right. Chris Ackerley, thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Shelley Fishman. Shelley is waiting in the wings, and he's giving me a neutral thumb direction, which means the markets are not doing it really anything exciting. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Shelley Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelley via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
It's easy for me because I can contact him right now. Here he is, Shelley Fishman. Hey, Shell, how's your week going so far?
So far, as an investor, it's wunderbar.
Yeah, I mean, the indices, two of the three majors are at all-time highs.
They closed yesterday at all-time highs.
Wow.
The Dow and the S&P 500, and they're up again today. So my thumb pointed sideways was for 20 minutes ago. Right now, all the indices are somewhat higher.
Why? Why are these tailwinds from last week?
Well, let's talk about headwinds and tailwinds, but what happened last week was the Fed lowered interest rates. We knew they were going to. You and I have talked about this kind of every single week. And they went the full half
supersize.
Point. They supersized it.
Yeah.
That's the good news, and it's the good news for both corporations that need to invest money to build factories, for instance. And it's good news for people who want to buy large items like houses and cars. Of course, immediately for those people who are looking at the downside of things, they said, oh, they wouldn't have done that unless they were afraid we were going into a recession.
That is the argument.
And guess what? That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
However, at any point in history, Bill, the economy is going to have some great things about it and some not so great things about it. And so we talk about headwinds and tailwinds. The tailwinds in this economy right now are so strong, and the indications that this economy is so strong that to say anything else, you really have to have a different set of motives. The GDP growth, for instance, is going to be 3% for all of 2024.
That's pretty good.
We haven't had a 3% average growth in GDP since the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
That's the general overall kind of health.
We got a soft landing, too.
We did. We got a soft landing from the activities that the Fed pursued, I think over-pursued, to control inflation. Inflation is now down at around 2.5% annualized. That's also a tailwind. The wage growth has outpaced inflation for the past almost 2 years. That's a tailwind. Consumer spending remains very high overall, though today we got an indication from the conference board that consumer sentiment has come down a couple of points in the measurement that they use.
I wonder what that's about. I heard about that this was the lowest consumer sentiment in actually a couple of years.
Well, it's the lowest single month drop.
Okay. I was just curious.
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
But you can't look at any one month. What you have to do is look at trends.
Okay.
And the trends in consumer sentiment and in consumer spending have been very, very high. That's a tailwind. Manufacturing growth, thanks to the CHIPS Act and the infrastructure bill and those kinds of things, have been just through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing manufacturing back into the United States, which eventually gives us the ability, once the manufacturing capability is here, to in fact, assess tariffs if we want to, using tariffs as a political weapon rather than a way of raising revenue for the government.
Case in point, look at Taiwan and up in Phoenix, that
yes.
huge operation that's going to be coming up there.
Perfect
the
case
chips,
in point.
The CHIPS group.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we also have nearly full employment. Full, employment mm-hmm. is right now at around, 3.1%.
Okay.
Unemployment is around 3.1%.
I was going to say just under 3, but anyway.
Yeah, it crossed over.
Yeah.
I'm blanking out the actual number. The problem is that hiring and new employment numbers over the past couple of months have kind of inched up.
Mm-hmm.
And in traditional macroeconomic thinking, 20th century thinking, when you get the unemployment number, not the unemployment number, but the hiring number dropping down from month to month, that can be a precursor to a recession. That said, last month it ticked down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. The headwinds are interesting in this economy. First of all, the remnants of inflation. And there are some remnants. I mean, we've got new inflation under control, but there are some prices that just aren't going to come down.
Supermarket,
some other things, that are going to be very sticky up where they are, and that's giving some people some very serious and real perceived heartburn. So that's a headwind. have kind of a flip side to this lower interest rate business, which is the story that some people tell because they wanna, the reason the Fed is lowering interest rates as much as they are is because they're afraid that the economy is going to slip into a recession.
That is the negative narrative.
And that's the negative narrative. Mm-hmm. We're so far away from a recession at 3% GDP gain that, you know, I'm not worried about that for a while. What I can tell you with absolute 100% certainty is that there will be a recession.
I knew you were going to say that.
I just can't tell you when.
Yeah, exactly, because there will be one. There's always one on the horizon, but maybe not imminently.
And that's the problem with stoking negative perceptions, is that sometimes negative perceptions can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people get scared, they stop spending.
Yeah.
And when they stop spending, GDP growth goes down. And then people get laid off, and that, you know, negative cycle continues.
This tariff thing is kind of could throw off.
Well, that's been a thing of mine, Bill. You know, when Trump was president, he put some import tariffs on a bunch of stuff, some of it with China, some of it with Canada and Mexico, because he doesn't understand tariffs. And all that did was raise the prices for those goods on those items for the people who eventually buy those items. When Biden took over, he left the tariffs in place. Now, you know, he and I have not spoken lately.
There is some question why they were left in place. Yeah,
probably for political reasons, especially the tariffs on Chinese goods.
Okay.
Also, the tariffs on Canadian and Mexican goods were intended to stimulate the growth of manufacturing capability here domestically. So my guess is what Biden wanted to do, and he actually had some success, was use that as a pressure to be able to invest in U.S. manufacturing. And with the CHIPS Act and the inflation control measures, that all stimulates U.S. investment. So that's my guess as to why he left that stuff there. I think that when inflation started picking up the way it did at the, you know, at the very end of the Trump administration and then moving through the pandemic, that was a tool that could have been used not by the Fed but by the administration to contain prices. Mm-hmm. He never used it.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is a headwind.
Then there's a big one. Worldwide conflicts.
Well, that's uncertainty. Anytime you have, you know, large amounts of uncertainty in the marketplace, then you know, people react. We talk about economics, but economics, to a very great extent, is the study of people's psychology and how they react to what goes on in the world. And that's very, very hard to predict. But what we know is when uncertainty or fear becomes more and more pronounced, that people tend to cut back on what they're doing to kind of wait and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, you know, the war in Ukraine is kind of stagnating, but it's not going away.
Do you believe it's coming up on 3 years next spring?
It's so hard.
All quiet, unfortunately, is not all quiet on the Western Front.
It's
the Eastern Front that looks like World War I.
Right. and so what's going to happen there? At the same time, Putin is saber-rattling or nuclear-rattling.
Yeah.
And that certainly creates a headwind for the kind of optimism that we need for the economy to continue to move at the speed it's currently moving. The other area which is, you know, fired up in the past couple of days is the Middle East.
Yeah, what's Iran going to do?
Exactly. And that always has a direct impact on not only how people feel about things here in this country, but ultimately on oil prices.
Yes.
And so that uncertainty, and, you know, I'm glad we kind of ended this headwinds discussion with that kind of worldwide unsettled stuff. as being potentially a negative effect on the economy is very, very important. That said, you don't control the economy by controlling politics. You know, what you try to do is control the things that you think are right and wrong by controlling the things that you think are right and wrong. So the economy kind of gets dragged along for the ride here. And of all of these things that we've spoken about headwinds, it is that piece that worries me the most.
And that piece is probably, as you start to think about crafting for our listeners, your year-end forecast is always a tough one.
It's a tough one because I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what's going to happen.
You can't tell us when is the war in Ukraine going to be over, or this or that.
Which would tend to make any forecast that I might come up with, you know, fairly conservative in its outlook.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, you know, if we just, you know, forecast the stuff we usually do on average, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking for that forecast from you in the coming day or the coming weeks.
It is my promise.
Okay. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and then we'll see you next Tuesday at 12:20.
I look forward to it, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. The general will be here in a few minutes, General Maxwell. Boy, he has really done a lot with crafting this Regional Transportation Authority compromise. We'll hear all about that after we take our mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Tuesday edition. We're at the midway point in the program in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. Jan and Jack, the very hands-on owners over there, have just done a beautiful job with their 13 acres. Everything on the Green Things site is looking green, the way it should look, right? 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. This is a perfect time of year to start your autumn planning and planting, because certainly, unless we get some kind of tropical disturbance off of Mexico, pretty much monsoon 2024 is in the rearview mirror. GreenThingsAZ.com. Sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. They have a great selection of every imaginable pottery that you could think of, including the very famous Talavera from Mexico. ZocaloVillage.com. Both businesses on that location over there on East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, we thank Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management for sponsoring that. Let's welcome now back to the program General Ted Maxwell, who is does a weekly program right here on KVOI. He's part of the lineup of Jump in Tucson. General Maxwell's show is 9 o'clock to 10 on Tuesday morning. So he's actually part of the Bustos Media family, part of the KVOI family. And he has so many responsibilities. Let me quickly summarize some of them if you've not heard of this gentleman. He leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's the president and CEO. He's been there since 2018. He is very much a military man, nearly 34 years of military service. I believe, and I'm pretty sure about this, he's a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. He had 15 years of active duty with the Air Force, an additional 19 with Air National Guard Arizona. He retired as a major general in 2018. Why do I always blank on this? Two or three.
Bill, we're going to get it down eventually.
Two stars. Well, you know what confuses me?
I know.
You know,
Major versus Lieutenant.
And General Jeff Buchanan, who is also a regular monthly guest, he is a lieutenant general, retired lieutenant general, and he got 3 stars.
Absolutely. And we've both flown in the same F-16 together at one point.
Really? Very cool. Yeah. Anyway, your final military position was commander, Air National Guard, Arizona. In 2021, the governor appointed the general to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. And he's also a member of the regional. There's a 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board, and they have one of the members from ADOT, the Arizona Department of Transportation. And that's where the general's connection to this Regional Transportation Authority NEXT program comes in. And he's been very hard at work, actually for months now, trying to help craft some kind of a compromise, because we're trying to get everybody on the same page so this RTA NEXT program can be presented, a blueprint can be presented to the voters, and then an election hopefully next year. All right, General, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Bill. Sorry for running in the last minute.
You're a busy guy. So you've worked so hard on crafting this. What were you thinking? You got a lot of different constituencies at the table. You got some that think more like the city of Tucson. They think more urban. And I don't want to say that Oro Valley is rural, but you have just, it's a different setup.
And that's what makes this a really tough challenge, Bill. And, you know, it's not, we've gotten a lot of discussion lately because I think we're getting close to the point where we're going to be able to put something to the community for their input. Now, the Citizens Advisory Committee stood up 6 years ago. And the TMC, the Technical Management Committee, and the Citizens Advisory Committee have been working for this time to get us to a point about a year ago, which was as far as they could get. Now it came down to the members of the board, 8 elected members, both 2 tribes, the Paskayaki and the Tohono O'odham, are represented, as well as all the municipalities, the 5 cities or towns, and Pima County. I'm an appointed.
Yeah, you're unelected. the only one that's not elected on that board.
And that's why I figured they made me the chair this year while we're doing this part, because
there you go.
There's no constituents other than the community that I answer to.
No, you're trying to,
And your point is very valid. And I think we've all talked about, and I've said it multiple times, is I will know we have a good plan when nobody loves it, but nobody hates it. Okay. In its entirety, because
that means everybody's getting a little something.
I hate always saying a little something because that gets us in trouble. You think, oh, you're just giving people stuff. Yeah, everything in this plan contributes to a regional transportation system. Mm-hmm. That means roadways. That means active transportation. That means transit. Mm-hmm. That means improving what we've got. And there's a piece of the plan that we're moving forward with now. It's not a maintenance piece because we can't do
it. Is it a preservation piece?
It's a reconstruction piece.
Reconstruction.
It's a piece that takes roads that are beyond the ability to be maintained or improved with minor corrections and reconstructs them.
Okay.
Now, there's some risk in how much of that's going to get done, because most of that exists in between the pessimistic view and the baseline. And for the listeners, the board voted 9-0 to go with the pessimistic economic
forecast
from the University of Arizona and George Hammond. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that pessimistic number, 80% of the time, the revenues will actually come in above that number. But what it means then is we've got less money to put into the plan. We've got about $2.45 billion over 20 years. So that's that's just about 1.2 or 120 million annually, a little bit more than that. The important part about that is 2 times the amount of money we get from the federal government and the state government in PAG to work on regional transportation. So it's a significant amount of money. And I think we're at a point now where we've got even pieces in this plan that I don't love, I maybe don't even like much, but there's more positive in it than there is negative to me. Mm. RTA 1, most everybody will say, has been a success. Mm-hmm. And some people don't like when I say that because they say it's a different plan. It is. But my question is, what is it then you think we should change if this isn't the plan going forward? Mm. And the fact of the matter is, I think the municipalities, all the conversations we have gotten to the plan, we've changed pretty much everything anybody's willing to change. Mm-hmm. The city of Tucson was really clear on what their minimum expectations were. We've met those. You look at some of the outer towns, especially Marana, which is growing strong, they get a pretty good chunk of money because they've got significant road infrastructure. It's not their fault it's in their town, but it is in their town that needs to be improved. Mm. The Tangerine TI, the Cotero TI, the traffic interchanges. That's basically for everybody. That's getting on and off I-10, but it's also dealing, the challenge we have along I-10 is Union Pacific has a railroad right next to it. Mm-hmm. So that causes a lot of backups. Well, as we've seen with INA, as we're seeing with, there's ways to do flyovers and take the train tracks out of play for both safety purposes and for efficiency.
Right.
And that's where some big dollar projects are going. Mm-hmm. So Marana fares pretty well if you
and
look
at the total
number.
And that makes that appealing to Marana.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
As it should, because it's those are big numbers. Mm-hmm. But it makes it appealing to the rest of the community, because one thing Mayor Honey will tell you is, well, everybody uses that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Those are regional projects.
Yes.
But the city of Tucson can make the same thing. Everybody uses the arterials inside the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. And we do. And anybody that comes to the city for work, for play, for going to the university, anything, you are going to be on a Stone, on a First Avenue, on an Oracle, or east-west, a Broadway, a Grant, a Speedway. Those are all major arterial roads. And you've seen a lot of improvement from RTA 1 on some of those roads. Mm-hmm. So now how can we sell it to both the citizens inside the city, the citizens in each of the towns, and the community at large. Let's not forget 36% of our population lives in unincorporated Pima County. Mm-hmm. And I think this plan captures a lot of it. The biggest change, there's been a couple big changes recently. We added Marianne Cleveland Widening back to the main plan. And when I say main plan, that means below pessimistic view. Mm-hmm. There's another thing that we've done on planning as part of this is, what if the revenues come in above that pessimistic view, should be 80% of the time, mm-hmm. how do we spend those? Mm-hmm. And that's where the city of Tucson has said, listen, we believe the economy will be strong. Mm-hmm. We'll take the risk. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that money above the pessimistic line, good portion of it, out of the $320 million, $75 million will mm-hmm. go into contingency funding, which mm-hmm. means if we run short on projects, we've got mm-hmm. another $75 million that we could spend to finish those. $25 million would go into the wildlife crossings in the environmental section. There's a lot of environmental advocates that are upset with us because we moved, that used to be 50 below the pessimistic line, and we moved that at the last meeting to put 25 above and 25 mm-hmm. below.
Mm-hmm. These would be wildlife crossings?
Predominantly, yeah. The environmental and element has always predominantly been wildlife crossings, mm-hmm. and Carolyn Campbell and a lot of sure. her supporters will tell you that we could not only leverage that money with federal dollars, but there's ways mm-hmm. to impact that, to make those more efficient. And then a big portion of that is a new this plan added at our last meeting, it added what we called arterial rehabilitation. We're going to change it probably this meeting to arterial reconstruction, and it's just a definition, but serves the same practical purpose. Mm-hmm. And $20 million is in the main plan, and then that area where if we go above the pessimistic view, another $190 million for the city of Tucson to do arterial reconstruction. So the roads that are traveled the majority of the time by people coming in, out, residents, you know, the big roads, mm-hmm. the grants, the speedways, the product. Mm-hmm. The ones that are in poor condition, that funding could then go in and reconstruct them, which mm-hmm. means you're really giving it a facelift. It's not just giving it some spot treatment or filling potholes, which, as we all know, potholes come back. Mm-hmm. It's not filling cracks. It's actually reconstructing the road curb to curb, so no design required. Mm-hmm. So they're easy, simple, straightforward projects to do. The city of Tucson's recognized already about $250 million worth of arterials that are in need of this. Well, mm-hmm. this plan, if we hit the baseline, we'll provide 220. So that addresses the, how do we keep the roads in good shape? Well, by reconstructing the ones that only way they can become in good shape again is through reconstruction. Mm-hmm. We will improve for all users in the county, mm-hmm. a lot of the arterial road systems that sits in the city of Tucson. Now I'll tell you, when I spoke with the Board of Supervisors last week, Supervisor Christie asked me one question. Mm-hmm. A lot of the unincorporated Pima County roads need arterial roads mm-hmm. need reconstruction as well. Mm-hmm. Can we get some of that money? Mm-hmm. And as I told him, nothing in this plan is going to the voters yet. Mm-hmm. Do I believe this plan could be the one that goes to the voters? Yes. Mm-hmm. But we have to, as a board, say, this is as close as we're going to get. We need to hear now from the community. Mm-hmm. We need to go out to the voters, the users. And sure, you're going to get the activists on one side, the activists on the other, the mm-hmm. people that support roads, people that support trends. They're all going to come give us their input. But we need to hear from them before we can truly make an informed decision on what we want to send
and
to the
ballot. And it's time for that.
It is. We've got until June of 2026.
Yeah.
But we're on election cycles. Mm-hmm. So really, next year, May is the date we've been targeting.
Yeah. But the city's going to do a program in March.
Which may affect that decision
yeah.
on May.
Yeah.
But we could also go in November. And mm-hmm. both, if we go either in May or November, if it fails the first time to the mm-hmm. voters, mm-hmm. we can come back in May of 26. But that will
with
be
revisions,
the last,
yeah.
with
yeah.
revisions. And that's the last shot.
Yeah. Had a question here from a listener, so, and you've kind of articulated this. So, what exactly are the residents of Tucson getting with the plan? And I think you've just kind of gone over that.
But there's a thing that I want to remind the residents, particularly of okay. Tucson, and this is what Maricopa is facing right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the dollars, and a lot in this case is about 20% of the RTA, maybe a little less than that, directly support the operations of the current transit system, both in the city of Tucson and in Oro Valley and in Marana and in the outer and throughout Pima County. If this fails, a significant amount of money annually mm-hmm. will no longer be going to support the current transit system, which means there's going to have to be reductions.
Yeah.
And remember, the city's not, they don't have fees right now. That's a point of conflict for some. You need fees to support. But they're going to have to come up with some way to supplement that funding. Okay. So it's truly a transportation system we're supporting. It's roads, it's expansion, it's improvements where necessary, like the TIs, and it is transit. And there's money in there for bike and pedestrian improvements as well. So it is a provide something for everybody, but it's not a Christmas tree. It's okay. Not where everybody's getting, nobody's going to be jumping up and down saying, this is the greatest plan yet. But what I can guarantee you, in my opinion, is it will be beneficial for the region.
All right, let's pause right here. More with General Maxwell talking about the RTA Next program. Take a break here, then some final remarks from the general, and we'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
2006. Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Looking at that Silver City forecast, very, very manageable. 85 and 55 for the low. It's going to warm up a little bit there, maybe touching 90, but it's nowhere near what we're going to be having as we go to 105. All right. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now. It's only about a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area. Perfect time of year in the land of enchantment. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness this time of year. Boy, that's great. Great time of year. All right, back with General Ted Maxwell. General Maxwell is the Southern Arizona Leadership Council president and CEO, and he's also a member of the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors because he is the representative on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. So by because of that, he's on the RTA board, and that board is working now to get a blueprint out to the voters as the regional transportation program will be sunsetting here about a year and a half. So, General Maxwell, we've talked about this program has a little bit. I know you don't like to use kind of a little bit for everybody, but this is getting a unanimous vote on this doesn't necessarily mean everybody thinks it's necessarily the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's to move it to the next level.
And Bill, that's an important point. At this point, what it means is the board feels comfortable with the plan to move it forward and get input to start collecting what the community, the voters, importantly, because ultimately the voters are the ones that approve this or disapprove it, and what their insight is. And one of the important things that we're going to be briefed on tomorrow is how PAG sees to go out and collect that data and that input. Pima County is huge. It's a large community, large different segments of the community, a lot of folks with different needs. And we have to make sure we do give all those folks and all the people in throughout Pima County.
Logistically, that's going to be a huge task, right?
They've already put a team together. They've started one. Mayor Romero brought up an idea at the next one that maybe we should look at also contracting with another firm that may be able to have the manpower and the footing to go get to some of those sectors that we think are going to be tougher to get input
from. Kind of host some of those.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And because you've got to go to them. Yeah. If you want input from the community, you have to go to the community.
Yes.
You can't expect everybody to come to you.
No.
So we'll have to figure that out. But to your earlier comment, this you called it a blueprint. I kind of like the use of that, but it's our draft plan.
Draft.
And what I'm asking everybody to understand is, I don't think we can make any more changes to this that everybody is going to want to agree to. Mm-hmm. So let's push this forward to the community. Mm-hmm. It's not a vote by any of the mayors to say, this is what I want to go to the ballot. Mm-hmm. It is purely a vote of, this is what I want to gather the input. And once we get that feedback, then we can make the final changes that may be necessary to put it in front of the community.
Could that vote come Thursday of this week?
It could. We'll see. I think I'd like to see it come there. Supervisor Scott mentioned from when I briefed the Board of Supervisors on us last week that he'd be a yes vote if it was to go for vote today or on Thursday. We'll see where it goes. I've worked with what I can work with inside the guidelines of open meeting laws, and I feel we may get there. But there's going to be a lot of what I anticipate hearing is a lot of concerns expressed. And then hopefully a yes vote to get it to the citizens. Because that can take between 6 and 12 months.
Yes.
And that will play a large part into when we actually go for the vote, whether it's going to be May or next November.
Mm-hmm. Final comments, got about 20 seconds, General.
I feel extremely, extremely strong about the fact that we have to have regional funding and a regional approach if we really want to have our infrastructure.
Because the state won't bail it out.
State doesn't have the money. The state transportation board doesn't have the money. And Maricopa's transportation it's polling pretty high. I think they're going to get across, but they're up against a deadline.
Mm-hmm. When is theirs?
Theirs is on the ballot this November, and they expire next May. So they will not have another opportunity
to
go back
to the ballot.
But they're
getting 60% in favor of some of these polls, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's polling really well.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, always a pleasure. Thank you, General.
Absolutely, Bill. I appreciate your
time.
And
we'll look for your program here on Tuesdays on KVOI from 9 to 10. Also, I will be having you sit in this chair. You're going to be hosting one of the programs while I'm away on October vacation.
It will be a great discussion on the ballot propositions.
Yeah, you're going to dive into all of them. All right, General, thanks a lot. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, as usual, wishing everyone well.